This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, today I continue my sermon series on the Gospel of John by examining a very important event in the ministry of Jesus. And I'm talking about his conversation with a Samaritan woman. In fact, there's so much to learn from this event that I'm going to preach two sermons on it. And so today's sermon is part one, and it's based on John 4, verses 1 through 30. And then next Sunday's sermon is part 2, and will be based on John 4, verses 31 through 42. So with that said, let's dig into today's gospel reading. In last Sunday's sermon, we learned that the disciples of John the Baptizer were concerned. They were concerned because more and more people were going to Jesus for baptism. And they were concerned because they wrongly thought that John the Baptizer was the Messiah. But John then stressed to his own disciples that he was not the Messiah. Only preparing the way for the Messiah, that was his role. So with that said, today's gospel reading begins with these words. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not in fact Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So Jesus left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now here we learn that the Pharisees are upset because so many people are hearing Jesus preach and then are being baptized by Jesus' disciples. Now why are they upset? Well, these are the same Pharisees who refused to be baptized by John the Baptizer because John was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But the Pharisees, they refused to be baptized because they believed their good works had already canceled out their sins. However, they are now even more upset because even more people are following Jesus, whom John the Baptizer called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Pharisees hated the fact that Jesus also called them to repent of their sins. He also called them to be baptized. He also called them to trust in him for salvation, and they couldn't take this. Well, Jesus knew that most of the Pharisees hated him and were going to make trouble for him, so he decides to go north to Galilee so he can preach and baptize there. But then, the Apostle John gives us this interesting information. John writes, "Now Jesus had to go through Samaria." Well, that's strange. Why? Because nobody had to go through Samaria if they didn't want to. In fact, the Jews deliberately avoided going through Samaria. The Jews hated the Samaritans, and so if they had to travel north from Judea to Galilee, they would intentionally go around Samaria just to avoid it. But we're told that Jesus had to go through Samaria. Why? Well, you see, Jesus was intentionally going to go through Samaria because he planned to do something in Samaria that would result in many people trusting in him as the Savior. So with that understood, the next thing we're told is that Jesus comes near a Samaritan town and he approaches a well that had belonged to the Old Testament patriarch Jacob, the grandson of Abraham. Well, Jesus sits down and he waits. And he does that for a reason. A bit later, a woman, a Samaritan woman, approaches the well to draw water. And then Jesus asks her a question. "Will you give me a drink?" Now, at first, we don't think this is any big deal, but notice how the woman responds. "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Remember, Jews don't associate with Samaritans. So when this woman approaches and sees Jesus there, she's shocked that he's there at all. And then when he actually asks her to give him a drink from one of her own utensils, it blows her mind. But then Jesus says something that seems strange. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, of course, the woman doesn't know what to think of this. She doesn't understand what Jesus is saying. This woman responds to Jesus by pointing out that Jesus doesn't even have anything to lower into the well. In addition, she's not sure what he even means by living water. I mean, what's that? And she then asks Jesus if he thinks he's greater than the ancestor Jacob who dug the well in the first place. Jesus then says something even more surprising. First of all, did you notice that Jesus doesn't even answer her question? Secondly, Jesus asks her to go get her husband. Now, why in the world would Jesus ask her to go get her husband? Well, let's find out. After Jesus asks her to go get her husband, she says, I don't have a husband. But then Jesus stuns her when he says, you're right when you say you don't have a husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've said is quite true. Well, that shocks the woman for two reasons. First of all, how could Jesus know this? How could he know all these details about her life? She concludes that at the very least, Jesus must be a prophet because God must have revealed these details to him. That's what she's thinking. However, the second reason she is shocked by Jesus' words is that Jesus has just revealed the fact that she's living in sin. Remember, he says she has had five husbands, and that means either they died or she was divorced. But the fact is, she's now living with a man who's not her husband, and this was considered to be sin among the Samaritans as well. So, since she now believes that Jesus is a prophet of God, and since he has now pointed out the fact that she's living in sin, well, now she's convicted. She has all this guilt and shame weighing on her, and she knows that she needs forgiveness. So she asks Jesus this question. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Why does she say this? Simply put, she's asking, where can I go to get my sins forgiven? Remember, she now believes that Jesus is a prophet of God. He's just exposed the fact that she's living in sin. She's weighed down with guilt and shame. She knows she needs forgiveness, but where should she go to get it? You see, the Samaritans were descendants of Jews, and their ancestors had intermarried with the pagan people in Samaria, and the result is that the Samaritans compromised the word of God and then built their own place for worship and sacrifice, even though God had commanded them to use the temple in Jerusalem. So this poor woman, weighed down with guilt and shame, is confused. Jesus has just exposed her sin. She knows she needs forgiveness, but where should she go to get it? Jesus then surprises her again when he says, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Now there's a whole lot there, so let me sum up Jesus' words briefly. First, the question is not where this woman should go to find forgiveness, but to whom this woman should go to find forgiveness. You see, the Jerusalem temple, as great as it was just a picture. It was a picture of the true temple, which is God's own Son in human flesh. And also, the animal blood sacrifices that were offered at the Jerusalem temple, they were just pictures also. Pictures of the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. However, what does Jesus mean when he says, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know, we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews"? Well, first, Jesus is pointing out that the Savior of all nations will be a descendant of the Jews, whom God had chosen to be his witnesses in this world. In fact, in our Old Testament reading from Zechariah, we're told that Gentiles will grab a hold of a Jewish person in the hope that he will lead them to the true God. But there's a big problem with that. You see, throughout Old Testament history, many of the Jews rejected the true God and worshipped false gods. And sadly, things were not any better in Jesus' day, because did you notice that the true God had come to his own people in human flesh, and the vast majority of them were rejecting him? In fact, if you recall our second reading from Romans, the Apostle Paul mourns and grieves over the fact that most of the Jews in his day rejected Jesus, their Lord and Savior. So when Jesus says, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know," he's actually including most of the Jews along with the Samaritans. In other words, the Jews in Jerusalem were no better than the Samaritans because they refused to see how the temple pointed them to Jesus. And that's why Jesus later says the following to some Jews, as recorded in John chapter 8. Listen to this. Jesus says, "I am the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then the Jews asked Jesus, "Where is your Father?" Jesus replied, "You do not know me or my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." Did you hear that? Jesus is talking to some Jews in Jerusalem, but he's saying that the Jews are also worshiping the wrong God. So what does Jesus mean then when he says, "We worship what we do know"? Well, the "we" that Jesus is referring to are all true believers. The Old Testament believers who actually trusted in the coming Messiah, as well as the New Testament believers who trusted in Jesus for salvation rather than their own works. This is what Jesus means when he says that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You see, the Holy Spirit works through God's Word to move us to trust in the One who is the truth and the only Savior of lost sinners. So if we sinners want forgiveness, where do we go to get it? We go to Jesus, because he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, once Jesus says this to the Samaritan woman, she responds by saying that one day Messiah will come and he will explain everything. And then, notice what Jesus says. "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Boy, now Jesus doesn't mince words, does he? Jesus makes it very clear to her and to us that he is our Lord and Savior, the one who gives us living water. And what is this living water? Well, living water refers to our baptism, where the Holy Spirit washes us from our sin by the power of Jesus' shed blood. The Samaritan woman then went back into town and she told everybody about the conversation that she had with Jesus, and we're told that many of them were now going out to meet Jesus. And what happens then? Well, you'll have to wait till next week to find out about that. For now, how does today's sermon apply to us? Well, simply put, just as Jesus had to go through Samaria, he had to bring the good news to other places, because that is precisely why he came into the world. You see, Jesus cared about the eternal salvation of that sinful Samaritan woman who didn't know who the true God was. And you know what? Jesus also cares about you. When you were baptized, you were given living water. In baptism, the Holy Spirit gave you a new heart that grieves over sin and trusts in Jesus as your Savior. In addition, the Holy Spirit led you here, so that through the preaching of God's Word, you could know the one who is the truth, the Son of God, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So just like Jesus was thinking of that Samaritan woman almost 2,000 years ago, at that time Jesus was also thinking of you. He was thinking how he would somehow bring God's word to you so that you could also worship him in spirit and in truth. Today, Jesus calls us to himself, the Son of God who was born to save his people from their sins. You see, like that Samaritan woman, we all have rebelled against God, haven't we? Like that Samaritan woman, in various ways, we all have a multitude of sins that weigh us down with guilt and shame. We know we deserve God's wrath. We confessed as much at the beginning of the service. We also know that we desperately need forgiveness. Well, once again, Jesus is here today, calling us to himself. Today, Jesus invites baptized, repentant sinners to his Holy Supper, where he gives us his own body and blood to eat and to drink so that we can know that we are forgiven, and that Christ himself dwells in us. And finally, like that Samaritan woman, we get to go tell others about Jesus so that they too may worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen.